From Covenant of Grace Church in St. Charles, Missouri, here's Dr. Van Lees.
Have you ever looked back in your life and wondered, what if I had done this or taken a different path? Perhaps all of us from time to time have looked at the past and thought about those different crossroad experiences that we've had and thought, well, just what would have happened in my life if I had gone this direction instead of that direction? Where you are now in your life is not an accident. Where you are now is part of God's eternal plan for you.
Grace is God's loving favor given to those He saves. We don't deserve it, nor can we earn it. But if we're to live eternally with Christ, we must depend totally on God's grace. Welcome to God's Amazing Grace, the radio outreach ministry of Covenant of Grace Church in St. Charles, committed to growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This week, Dr. Van Lees comes to the message entitled, God All-Knowing. If you're seeking comprehensive knowledge about virtually any subject, you can surf the internet or visit the Library of Congress. But you cannot truly know God simply by looking at a few websites or reading a few books. God's knowledge, character, and ways are so far above ours that we can only know Him as He reveals Himself to us. God has perfect knowledge of everything in the universe, and He knows you better than you know yourself. Well, how can we know about Him, learn the truth about ourselves, and understand what He has done in our behalf? The scripture text for today's message is from Psalm 139, and we'll also look at Isaiah chapter 40. Here once again is Dr. Van Lees with today's edition of God's Amazing Grace, we've entitled, God All-Knowing.
The last couple of weeks we have looked at the idea of God's truth and the idea of God's omnipotence. And this morning we're going to consider another of the attributes of God, His omniscience. The idea of God's omniscience means that God knows all things. He never learns information. He doesn't come to understanding of things because He is already all-knowing. This truth about God has important applications for us. For the Christian, it is a point of comfort. God knows your struggles, your fears, your concerns, and He is involved in the small details of your life. God hears your prayers and is acquainted with the struggles in your heart, with the fears that you have, with everything going on in your life. In fact, the basic idea of God's omniscience is simply that God knows all things. In Psalm 139, in the first four verses, psalmist writes, O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down, when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my line down. He mentions it before one word is on his mouth. God knows it. In verses 15 and 16, he says, My frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. Part of the idea of God's omniscience is that He has ordained what comes to pass. God knows our actions, thoughts. He knows the future He has ordained for us. God not only knows all things, but He has infinite knowledge and wisdom in carrying out His sovereign plan and purpose. The scriptures are filled with this idea. For example, in Romans chapter 11, after Paul has set forth the doctrine of election and justification in these first chapters of Romans, Paul proclaims a doxology in Romans 11:33 through 36. He says, Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and unfathomable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become His counselor? Or who has first given to Him that it might be paid back to Him again? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. Psalm 104:24 proclaims, How many are Your works, O Lord? In wisdom You made them all. Here is the idea that God has ordained what comes to pass. God knows you and knows all things perfectly. No one has informed him or become his counselor. The 40 chapters of the book of Isaiah are filled with statements concerning the attributes of God. In Isaiah 40, in verses 13 and 14, who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or has his counselor has informed him? With whom did he consult, and who gave him understanding? In verses 25 through 28, to whom will you then liken me, that I should be his equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the one who leads forth their host by number. He calls them all by name. Because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing. In Isaiah 46, verses 8 through 10, are also statements concerning God's omniscience. Remember this and be assured. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things long past. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and the ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure, calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my purpose from a far country. Truly I have spoken, truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it, surely I will do it. The all-wise, all-knowing God knows everything that ever was, now is, or ever shall be. He knows himself and his creation exhaustively, instantaneously, simultaneously, and everlastingly. God has perfect knowledge of every detail in his universe. Now, a few theologians in church history have questioned whether God's knowledge is exhaustive. They've questioned whether God bothers himself with trivial issues. For example, Jerome thought it unworthy of God's divine majesty that he should know how many gnats are born or die every moment. However, Jesus declared that God is involved even in the small details of his creation. For example, in Matthew 10, in verses 29 and 30, Jesus said, are not two sparrows sold for a cent? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Here Jesus said, you're more important than birds. The birds of the air have very little value in terms of what you buy them for. And yet not one of them dies, not one falls to the ground apart from God. The very hairs of your head are known by God. The minutiae of creation is known by God. In fact, everything is upheld by the word of his power and known by him. Every fact in the universe has meaning because of its place in the knowledge and plan of God. God's knowledge, revealed in Scripture, is the criterion of validity for all human knowledge and understanding. In fact, philosophically, you cannot even build an epistemology based on empiricism or rationalism. There must be a basis of revelation in order to even frame the most basic and rudimentary elements of knowledge. It must come from God. And anytime we think or understand a true proposition, we are thinking the thoughts of God after him. It is only in God's light that we see light. God's infinite knowledge and wisdom means that the direction of our lives, the things we experience, our pain and suffering, our joys, all have meaning because they are a part of God's infinitely wise plan in our lives. Perhaps all of us from time to time have looked at the past and thought about those different crossroad experiences that we've had and thought, well, just what would have happened in my life if I had gone this direction instead of that direction? God's infinite knowledge and wisdom fits closely with his sovereignty. The life he has ordained for you is in keeping with his wisdom and his knowledge. It is right, and it is the best, because it is ultimately based on the knowledge and wisdom of God. And where you are now in your life is not an accident. It's not simply the product of haphazard or capricious choices that have been made and somehow you've stumbled through a series of paths and ended up where you are now. Where you are now is part of God's eternal plan for you. And when you feel anxiety or regret about your life, or when you're facing pain or sorrow, remember that God is not capricious. And He has ordained a perfect plan through your life. You are called to trust Him because He is infinitely wise. The fact that God is omniscient is also a comfort in terms of our prayers. Because God is omniscient, He knows our needs. He can hear all of our prayers. God knows and understands your pain and your hurts, your doubts, your fears. In fact, one of the problems with the idea of being human mediators, such as in Roman Catholicism, when there would be someone who's died, one of the saints, or Mary, who is made a mediator between God and man, is the idea that an incommunicable attribute of God, such as omniscience and omnipresence, has to be ascribed to the creature. For a saint or anyone who has gone on before us to hear the millions of prayers that may be prayed to them at the same time and sort them out, they would have to be omniscient as well as have to be omnipresent to hear them all at the same time. And those are attributes of which belong to God alone. Only God can hear and understand the thousands or millions of prayers at once. And when you pray, realize that because of the God's omnipresence, you are always in the immediate full presence of God. A.W. Pink writes of God's omniscience, "Here is encouragement to prayer. There is no cause for fearing that the petitions of the righteous will not be heard, or that their sighs and tears shall escape the notice of God, since He knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. There is no danger of the individual saint being overlooked amidst the multitude of supplicants who daily and hourly present their various petitions. For an infinite mind is as capable of paying the same attention to millions as if only one individual were seeking its attention. So too, the lack of appropriate language, the inability to give expression to the deepest longings of the soul, will not jeopardize our prayers, but it shall come to pass, before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear." Isaiah 65:24. The psalmist in Psalm 139 said that before my words are on my lips, you know them, O Lord. Another part of God's omniscience is that He infallibly knows the future. One of the themes in Isaiah in those 40 chapters that I alluded to a moment ago is that because God has perfect knowledge of the future, His predictions of future events are perfect. God knows the future because He has ordained the future. This is contrasted with the idols and the false gods who know nothing. And I mentioned some of those who attack those chapters of Isaiah, saying they're written after the exile and they really don't have the predictive quality to them because they're written after the fact. One of the arguments against that is the fact that after the exile, Israel did not deal with idolatry. One thing that the exile cured Israel of in its existence was its propensity toward idolatry. They had all kinds of other problems, but you didn't see the statues to Baal being set up anymore, or the Asherah poles. And the Isaiah 40's chapters are filled with exhortations against idolaters in present tense. And if it was written after the exile, it's almost a strange thing that someone would come up with all these exhortations against idolatry when it was not really the problem in Israel anymore. But it was certainly a problem in Israel at the time Isaiah wrote it. Look with me at those chapters and a few of the passages concerning God knowing the future. Isaiah chapter 41, verses 22 and 23. "Let them bring forth and declare to us what is going to take place. As to the former of thence, declare what they were, that we may consider them and know their outcome, or announce to us what is coming. Declare the things that are going to come afterward, that we may know that you are gods. Indeed, do good or evil, that we may anxiously look about us and fear together." Verses 25 through 27. "I have aroused one from the north, and he has come. From the rising of the sun, he will call on my name, and he will come upon rulers as upon mortar. even as the potter treads the clay. Who has declared this from the beginning that we might know, or from former times that we might say, he is right? Surely there was no one who declared. Surely there was no one who proclaimed. Surely there was no one who heard your words. Formerly I said to Zion, behold, here they are. And to Jerusalem, I will give the messenger of good news. In Isaiah 42, verses 8 and 9, I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. Isaiah 43, verses 11 and 12. I am the Lord, and there is no Savior besides me. It is I who have declared and saved and proclaimed, and there was no strange God among you. So you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and I am God. These chapters are filled with these kind of statements where God taunts the idols, saying, if you're something, predict the future. Tell us what's going to happen. But I will. Here's what's going to take place. Now, there have been those in history, in the Jesuits, those Molina, many in the Arminian camp, who are troubled by the idea that God knows the future because of the implications this has for human decisions and actions. In recent years, open theism has emerged that claims that God does not know the future. It's driven by the need to affirm human autonomy and freedom. God's omniscience states implicitly what other scriptures state explicitly, that God has decreed the course of human history and that there are no random or capricious events. And if God infallibly knows the future, then he must infallibly know all the future acts of men. If he knows the future acts of men, then those acts must occur. If God knows an event will occur, and that event must occur, or God's knowledge will be false. Therefore, the acts of man must occur as God knows they will and has decreed that they will. This concept speaks loudly of God's sovereignty over his creation. Those attacking the idea of God's sovereign rule over the affairs of man recognize that God's perfect knowledge affirms his sovereignty over all events, including the will and actions of man. To escape this position, they claim that God does not have infallible knowledge concerning all future events, such as an open theism. Robert Raymond writes this, what these thinkers refuse to realize is that if there were one square inch in this entire universe not under his sovereign governance, God is neither absolutely sovereign nor omniscient. Since that one square inch would have equal claim to its own sovereignty to do as it willed, with the authority even to set up its own sign saying to God, keep out. This theological construction allows billions upon billions of these sovereign human inches to exist throughout God's universe, all denying by their own sovereign right his sovereignty over them. This construction cannot be squared with the biblical passages that teach that God did in fact ordain whatever comes to pass, knows all things infallibly, and providentially governs all his holy creatures and all their actions to bring about his own holy ends. In fact, if God's knowledge of the future is limited, so that he does not know the actions of men until they actually act, then according to Isaiah, God is no better than an idol or a fortune teller. Again, A.W. Pink said this, now, the divine knowledge of the future is not a mere abstraction, but something which is inseparably connected with and accompanied by his divine purpose. God has himself designed whatsoever shall yet be, and what he designed must be effectuated. As his most sure word affirms, he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand, Daniel 4:35. And again, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Proverbs 19:21. The wisdom and power of God being alike infinite, the accomplishment of whatever he has purposed is absolutely guaranteed. It is no more possible for the divine counsels to fail in their execution than it would be for the thrice holy God to lie. A very important application of this point for us is that we can rest and take comfort in the fact that God is infinitely wise and is working out a perfect plan in our lives. God's perfect and infallible knowledge also guarantees his perfect judgment. In Jeremiah chapter 17, in verses 9 and 10, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the result of his deeds. There are only two possibilities for you when you stand before God at the end of your life. Either you are in Christ, and Christ has taken all the penalty due your sins, or as a breaker of God's law, you will take the penalty due for your sins. There's an idea in our culture, in the Christian culture, that heaven is an all-or-nothing proposition, that you either go to heaven or go to hell. That's kind of it. However, if everyone received the same punishment, that would deny the omniscience and justice of God. While every sin is a damnable sin, the Bible teaches that the greater and the more numerous the sin, the greater the judgment and punishment. Jeremiah 17:10 mentions that God gives to each man according to his deeds. And the only way we can know the penalty of sin is by revelation from God. There is no empirical data in this world that will provide any information to us concerning what sin deserves. The only way we can know what sin deserves is when God, who is holy, tells us what it deserves. And God's perfect knowledge comes directly to bear in his final judgment. God knows every motive of the heart, every mitigating circumstance, every opportunity or lack of opportunity, as well as every sin. Consequently, he renders a perfect judgment. And since God is all-powerful, he can render a perfect commensurate punishment. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, I believe that the holier a man becomes, the more he mourns over the unholiness which remains in him. At the end of Psalm 139, the psalmist prays, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. David understands that the heart is deceitful above all else. He has a painful experience in his own life of knowing the deceit that can come into his life. It could be that moment in David's life where he sees Bathsheba, or the moment of wanting to get rid of Uriah and cover his sin. He prays that God would search his heart, uncover his sin to him, cleanse him, lead him in repentance. Part of God's omniscience as it relates to our lives is that we should pray for God to reveal to us, as we can bear it, those areas where he is calling us to repentance. God's omniscience means that he has perfect wisdom and perfect knowledge. It means that he is infallibly carrying out his eternal plan and purpose in your life. And it is an encouragement toward our growth in righteousness. One final aspect of God's omniscience that I want to mention is that it gives you an assurance of his love for you if you're in Christ. When we look at the passages that deal with the doctrine of election, such as in Ephesians chapter 1, the scriptures declare that God has known us and predestined us before the foundation of the earth to be adopted into his family, to be redeemed by Christ, to be sealed by the Holy Spirit and kept by him. And this means, since God is omniscient and always knows all things, that God has known you forever. That he has set his love upon you from all eternity. That he has known you, set a destiny for you, loved you from before there was any creation. And since God is eternal and his knowledge is eternal, that means that he has known you forever. That he has loved you forever. and that His love for you will last forever. That you have been known and loved and singled out by God to be His child from eternity. Jeremiah declares, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness I have drawn you. If you are in Christ, no matter what you are going through in your life, whether it's frustration in your labor, physical pain and suffering, whatever it is, God is involved in your life and has a plan for you that stretches to eternity.
Believers can take comfort in the fact that God is omniscient and knows all things. He knows your struggles, your fears, and concerns. He listens to your prayers with compassion and is involved in every detail of your life. For an audio copy of today's broadcast, ask for the message entitled, God All-Knowing. Our mailing address is God's Amazing Grace, 1111 Moogie Road, St. Charles, Missouri, 63303. Or call 636-447-5691. That's 636-447-5691. God's Amazing Grace is the radio ministry of Covenant of Grace Church in St. Charles. Dr. Van Lees is our pastor teacher. The church is located at 1111 Moogie Road. You're invited to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 11. Sunday school for adults and children begins at 10, with a Sunday evening Bible study at 6:30. To learn more about Covenant of Grace Church and the ministry opportunities available, call the church office at 636-447-5691 or visit us online at covenantofgracechurch.org. And once again, for a copy of today's broadcast, request the message entitled, God All-Knowing. Our address is God's Amazing Grace, 1111 Moogie Road, St. Charles, Missouri, 63303. Or call 636-447-5691. You may also hear today's message over the internet anytime. Just log on to our Real Audio website at accradio.com. Thanks for joining us today, and we invite you back next time when we will once again declare the glory of God's Amazing Grace.